Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Here we are trying to do a show, and wouldn't you know it, Red Sox fans interrupting us, Ben Botham.
Red Sox everywhere. We got to start.
I almost said Red Sox, but I don't want to get assaulted.
You got to be careful, Mike.
We're live from Ferg Sports Bar Grill in our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this March 25th. A beautiful day down here. Very active, of course. You got March Madness. You got the Sox across the street at the Trop on the last game of the spring training season. And just very vibrant as always. And yeah. I wonder what these people think when we're standing with a microphone with headphones on and they're staring at us and they go, are you on the air?
Yeah, scratching their head. What's going on?
No, we're just standing here for photo ops. Anyway, he's Ben Botham, baseball Ben Botham. My number one draft pick, Savannah State graduate. Now he's a Seminole assistant coach and a teacher.
Yes, I am. I'm teaching now, Mike. Got intensive reading and AVID.
Well, you might have to, as I age, you might have to take me back and start working on my reading. But we've got a great show. In fact, we're going to talk to Orestes Destrada here shortly on the World Baseball Classic. Your opinion on the World Baseball Classic?
All right, so I think the World Baseball Classic is great. I think it's awesome. I think it's really good. That you got to go, bud. Yeah, I think the World Baseball Classic is awesome. I think it's great. Really good for baseball, but I think it's at the wrong time of the year. Right now, they have it right before the season starts. So we have the best players in baseball opting to not play in the World Baseball Classic. That means that the fans of the United States aren't going to get as into this game because, yeah, I mean, frankly, the pitching staff was pretty poor. When you start a bum from the Diamondbacks for the championship game.
If you're playing in the bigs, you're not a bum.
I understand that, but you have stars like, yeah, all right. When you have stars like Clayton Kershaw still sitting in spring training and you decide.
If you were Clayton Kershaw, would you participate? Look at the economic impact if you get injured.
You can get injured in spring training, but if this is the biggest thing in sports, like they're all trying to make it out to be, then why isn't he playing it? Why is Merrill Kelly playing in it? A JUCO bandit. Not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I think the guy's awesome for what he's done and how he got to where he is. Good on him. But in all reality, he's not the star that should be in the final game of the World Baseball Classic.
I didn't even recognize him.
No,
I don't think anybody did at home.
He's a nobody. He plays for the Diamondbacks, one of the worst teams in the league. Who cares? And then, all right, Mike, United States, after watching this, plays an inferior brand of baseball to that of the teams from the East. Japan, Korea, their fans are more into the game. Their play is more exciting. They bunt the ball. They hit the ball. They put on clinics on how the game is meant to be played. And they're able to get fans rowdy. They're able to get fans in the stadium.
It's their football, brother.
I understand that, but they're playing in countries where I would argue their attention span could be even lower due to the impact of technology that is leaps and bounds further than it is here, and yet they're still able to pack the stands for games that are 3 hours and 30 minutes long. What's going on here is it's not an issue of bases and pitch clock. It's an issue of the brand of baseball being played and the superstars, or the people who we call the superstars,
there was one season-ending injury, and that was during a celebration, and that happened early in the classic. Who was that again?
That was one of the pitchers for the Mets.
Closer.
Yeah, I don't remember his name right off the bat, but I mean, the very next day we had a guy get injured in spring training. Like, who cares?
I get it. So what would you propose?
So my what I propose for this, my idea, I have two ideas. You can either move it to after the World Series, which, you know,
Edwin Diaz. Thanks to Matt. Edwin Thank Diaz. You, Matt, up Thanks. There in the studio. Anytime you want to contribute to our conversations, you're more than welcome. I appreciate that. Yeah, Edwin Diaz, because it's all over the New York Post. They're pissed off.
Oh,
Mets fans.
And I don't blame them. But he could have. All right, I don't know if you've seen the video, but the Mets practiced winning and celebrating a game. So I think it's kind of ridiculous that a Mets player then gets injured after they practice how to celebrate.
They practice how to celebrate?
They practiced it. It's one of the most embarrassing videos I've ever seen. Like, they're born,
I did not see that.
Born losers. I couldn't stand it. But what I propose for the World Baseball Classic is either make it to after the World Series, which, you know, I think that'd be fair. More people would participate in it, but, you know, they're tired after a long season. But what I think would be the best option is if you put in the World Baseball Classic during the All-Star break. If you put it during the All-Star break, extend it maybe a little bit longer, an extra week, all the people that would be elected to the All-Star team should go into the World Baseball Classic representing the United States and playing it during that week, considering the All-Star game doesn't count for anything anymore, Mike.
It's a joke.
So why don't we make it worth something? Create a big deal right in the middle of the season and finish it off with the World Series. You know, something that actually means something. Because right now, the World Baseball Classic doesn't mean anything. There's no history behind it. And it feels like it has manufactured moments, you know, like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani to end it. I hate to be on Mad Dog Russo's side, but he's not wrong. It wasn't as exciting as they were trying to make it out to be.
Well, it was on that last game. Just the drama, the fact that you had two Angels, you know, arguably the greatest player in the game by far.
Arguably. They argue this, and they try and make Mike Trout to see.
I'm talking about Ohtani.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Mike.
I've never said
Mike Trout. I know, but it's the people who comment on the sport, like Mad Dog's talking about it, and all these are Stephen A. Smith.
Mike Trout's a very good player.
He's a very good player, but he strikes out 22% of the time.
There's probably a dozen guys better that are in the league right now.
Exactly. Averages 160 strikeouts a season, and the only one of the Hall of Famers that kind of equals him in strikeout percentage is Reggie Jackson. Strikes out 22% of the time, but he played for 21 seasons. Mike Trout's not going to play for 21 seasons. He hit 563 home runs. Mike Trout probably isn't going to reach that number. And Reggie Jackson played in big moments. He hit three home runs off of three consecutive pitches. Mike Trout's never even been to the World Series.
Well, that's not Mike Trout's fault, but
well, if we're talking
the
about
Angels organization, as you and I are well aware of, in dire straits.
If we're talking about the greatest, one of the greatest of all time, I know, you know, Ted Williams, he never won a World Series, but he still batted, you know, above 300. He batted 400.
Well, here's a little Shohei Ohtani. He returned to the Angels training camp on Thursday, and after his MVP performance, of course, and he struck out 8 in 19 batters. So, you know, that guy is amazing. I liked his attitude towards, even though I, you know, I'm red, white, and blue all the way. I loved his attitude when he was firing up his teammates. Hey, we have adored the game. We've adored these players, but right now it's time to put that adoration away and make our own name for ourselves. And they did that.
Yeah, he's a born leader, and
that was only Japan's third world championship.
Yeah, they now lead. Everyone else only has one. The Dominican Republic and the United States each have one. So Japan now leads with three World Baseball Classics. So it is. Unfortunate that the United States hasn't caught up, and I hope that they do in the future. But Shohei Ohtani has proved that he is the best player in baseball, and Japan has shown that they have a lot of great stars coming up, like Japan's Roki Sasaki. He's the 21-year-old phenom who played in the Nippon Professional Baseball League. Guy's throwing 102 miles an hour, Mike, and he's 21 years old.
That just blows me away. Of course, you've got guys throwing 90s right here in Florida that are in high school.
Oh, I know it. We faced a couple of those guys. You know, you have people at Calvary or Dunedin, all these teams have guys throwing over 90 miles an hour consistently for strikes. It's unbelievable the talent that is coming up.
Well, we'll be talking March Madness, by the way. Let's go for the Fergs from the front row, and I'll take care of the basketball side of it for you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Anyway, very, very exciting basketball last night. For the first time in the history of March Madness, there is not a number one in the Elite Eight. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, we talked a lot about how the top tens kept changing and the parity in basketball. Well, it certainly exists. And last night, San Diego State upset number one seed Alabama, ranked number one at the end of the year. The Miami, Florida, the Hurricanes, they upset Houston, the other number one seed. Good on them. And then, of course, Texas is my dark horse. And Big O, and I'll talk about that the last segment of the show. Texas, who really deep, they just handed the Xavier. And then from my neck of the woods, the Creighton Blue Jays. And the head coach is a friend of mine, Greg McDermott. His son, Doug McDermott, plays in the NBA. And my buddy, Jeff Vanderloo, is on the bench. And that's just 90 miles from my hometown. So great to see. It's one of those schools. Doesn't have football. It's in the Big East. All the sports but football and one of those private schools. And first time they've ever been to the Elite Eight.
So is that who you're pulling for, Mike?
Absolutely. I've been to many games in Omaha, Nebraska.
I got to stick to the Florida teams. I can't go Miami. They beat my Savannah State Tigers in football 77-0 more than once. So I'm going to be pulling for Florida Atlantic today.
You're pulling for the Owls, baby?
They're the only team from Florida.
I understand. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if they're any good. That might be a good pick, bad pick. I don't know how good Kansas State is that they're about to play.
Yeah. No. They're not playing K-State. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, they're playing
Kansas
State.
Kansas State at 6:09 p.m.
I
looked it up a little bit.
I was here Thursday night for Dave Wills' celebration of life, and then Ferg had a meal for everybody afterwards, and a very touching evening. I'll tell you what. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we advance the show. But I happened to watch the end of that Michigan State K-State game going into overtime. That was one heck of a basketball game. The Big O, a Michigan State graduate. I haven't heard from him since, so I hope he didn't jump off the...
He's embraced the March Sadness attitude.
Yeah, he certainly has embraced the March Sadness attitude. On the women's side, my Iowa Hawkeyes, they took care of business against Colorado, and we'll just have Ben slide over here, and we'll throw you guys on. The Iowa women, I was very happy to see my Iowa women win against Colorado last night. There were some great women's action. In fact, Miami, you talk about Miami, the ladies also advanced, beating Villanova. So you've got the Hurricanes in the Elite Eight on the men's side and on the men's side. You really won't need those. I got a big mouth, and I'm very loud, young lady, but you certainly are welcome to. This is Ben Botham. He's my right-hand man. We're talking a little baseball as we're just about 25, 30 minutes from first pitch over at the Trop, Boston Red Sox, last spring training game of the year, and looking forward to Thursday, and of course the opener against the Detroit Tigers.
There we go. Yeah, it should be a great game. You know, opening day, it's our 25th anniversary, and of course once again we're playing the Detroit Tigers, Mike, 25 years later. And once again the Rays and the Tigers are sending two southpaws up there for the game, so that should be very exciting. Rays versus Tigers. Rays, of course, are starting Sugar Shane McClanahan is taking the ball for opening day. He did it last season, shutting out the Orioles for 4 1/3 innings for an all-star season. So I'm really excited for that. And it should be a great game. The Tigers are sending out Eduardo Rodriguez. Rodriguez was the Tigers' opening day starter in 2022. His first season with the team. Tigers are coming off of a pretty rough season last year. I think they only had 66 wins. So the Tigers are definitely looking to bounce back this season.
Well, they were actually looking to bounce back last year, and it never came to fruition. Hey, before we go to talk a little Eckerd time, Triton time, poor Matt is a Mets fan up in the studio.
So he's not a big fan of the WBC, huh?
No. He has a trivia question. When is the only time in tournament history all four number one seeds made the Final Four?
Basketball?
You don't know that.
No clue.
I'll take after we talk a little basketball here at the collegiate level, I'll take a swing at that. In fact, the Final Four was at the drop in 1999, and the national championship was UConn and Gonzaga, and it potentially could be the same matchup this year. That was 1999, right across here, and Ferg ran out of beer. This is a God's truth. Great Bay, the Budweiser distributor. I've got the pictures up in my office. They had to get two semis to get the kegs here, and they got a police escort to get the beer. There was 2,000 people out here in the lot, and that was 1999.
God bless our police officers doing God's work, getting the beer to the needy people.
Yeah, but can you imagine the Final Four in the trap? Were you down here at that time?
Yeah, I might have been one of those people in line waiting for the beer at that time. I don't know, but I was here, yeah.
Well, you played in 1998? Was that when you were Triton?
98.
I thought so.
Yeah, I graduated in 98.
So you were just a young 23 years old, and you were certainly probably over there.
Maybe I should take that back. I wasn't in line for the beer, was I?
You're 23 years old. You're okay.
I know.
And we won't go there, but I was going to have all your girls down here pretty soon, and we're going to do it again when they all get back from their spring breaks. And I appreciate you coming down. In fact, we're talking to Paul Hunsinger. Now, I do not want to butcher your name. So if you would say it for me, young lady, and then I'll try to articulate it.
It's Siegeline.
Well, first of all, you're an excellent basketball player.
Thank you so much.
I knew you were from Denmark.
Yes.
But I thought, I'm not butchering this name because I fumble, stumble, and bumble as it is. But great season.
Thank you.
Great career. You're a senior, correct?
Yes.
Nicole, she is an intern of mine.
Oh, is she?
She's been helping me.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, she's at a wedding this weekend.
Yeah, she is.
And so she's upset. I said, I'm going to have all the seniors down. And we'll have food and beverages after I see IDs, and we'll have a little fun. But bravo, man, on a great season, some program accomplishments that had not happened previously. You've been at the helm, what, 17 years now?
17 years, yeah. It's crazy.
You don't look old enough for 17 years, but
I feel every bit of those 17 years.
Well, especially when you have those games against Tampa.
Right.
And
right.
Now I realize why every time I ask the teams, and everybody comes down, who their biggest rivalry, without a shadow of a doubt, is across the bay, and it's Tampa.
Yeah.
And it's just going back to when Tom Ryan played, when you played, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's cross town. It's cross bridge rivalry between us, you know, and our games have been always super tight. I mean, we went in the Sweet 16, that game we squared off against Tampa for a third time this year. It didn't go our way. That was the only game that really wasn't tight for us all year. But those two prior games against Tampa during the regular season, one of their players hit a miracle shot, literally sitting on the floor. Threw it at the basket, pretty much at the buzzer, and we lost. And then we lost in overtime at our place.
I was at that game.
Oh, okay.
Is that the game when you guys were down, like, 13?
Yeah.
That's the first game I'd gone to.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm a bad penny. I gotta get out of here, man.
Had I known that, I would have had you out of the gym. Like,
yeah, you would have, Ryan, get him out now.
He's gotta be escorted.
Go outside and eat another burger and a dog. Which I think
maybe it was good luck that we were down 13, stormed
Virginia
back,
rallied back.
Overtime, right?
Then I really started getting into the game.
Right.
And I'd recognized a couple of the faces that you brought down last year. And of course, I was watching Nicole. I'm from the Midwest. She's from Illinois. And she's got a real solid, all your girls have a high basketball IQ.
Yeah, I think we try to recruit that on the front end. We spend a lot of time recruiting. If you look at our roster, they're from all over the world, circling here.
Unbelievable. Sweden, New Zealand, Park Ridge, Illinois, God's country, the Midwest, France, England, Iceland. Latvia?
Yep,
Latvia. Yeah, I thought it was right there. And then Sugar City, Idaho. You can't get much more diversity in a lineup coach than that. Anybody in America looks at that, they're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Florida's an attractive place. Our program has won. It's an excellent school academically. So it's an easy sell. It sells itself to those international players who want something serious in basketball in school. And I don't know, you can do it by the beach at our place.
Well, Ben went to Savannah State and it was a baseball player there. I bet you didn't have near that diversity. Would you have a bunch of Georgia and Florida cats?
Yeah, pretty much all Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina. So it was really only the tennis team that brought anybody from, you know, outside the U.S., but that's amazing. Get people from all over. How do you attract kind of people from, you know, Latvia?
Well,
we haven't been on the campus. Yeah. Have you seen the beach?
Well, I understand that. That's pretty compelling. I'd want to go there.
Yeah, well, to Ben's point, we've actually traveled more recently. We were not doing that early on, but last year, my assistant and I were fortunate enough to be sent overseas, go to the European Championship, see those games. And live, and now we're going to kind of try to repeat that because we've hit our groove here with the international recruiting, and we've been the NCAA tournament 7 of the last 8 years now.
Bravo,
focusing
man.
In on the international recruiting, and that's helped us see as one of many, but that's definitely helped us along the way.
Now, you made it to the Sweet 16. Was that your first advancement to the Sweet 16, I believe?
Yeah, first Sweet 16 for us. We've been to the second round multiple times, but this was new for us.
Now, they had it regionally, right over here in Tampa. Where has it been in the past?
Well, it's interesting. At the Division II level, very different than Division I, the way they break down the bracket. It's divided into 8 regions, and those winners of each of the 8 regions is your Elite Eight. So you don't travel out of your region until you've made it to the Elite Eight.
Gotcha.
Very different than these first-round matchups at the Division I level. You're already sent across the country to
Iowa's playing in Seattle
right now.
I got a lot of friends there.
So you have to win your region. We were second in the region. Tampa was first in the region. We ended up squaring off to go to the Elite Eight. They won and then moved on to go to Missouri to play in the Elite Eight.
Now, where do they play that? In Springfield or Ozarks?
I can't remember. St. Joseph's, I think it was.
I know where it is. Yeah. You know, I started diving in, and we're going to start doing broadcasts. Next year, we're going to do live broadcasts from you guys' games.
Oh, great.
You'll be graduated and going online and seeing, you know, how your team is done. But this conference, and I talked to the guys in baseball, and they're like, oh, my gosh. I mean, that Division II ball in baseball, you agree, being a baseball guy, in baseball, all your sports is deep.
Oh, very deep. And the national champ will usually come out of our league for baseball, tennis, swimming, golf, almost routinely. It's guaranteed stamp that they're coming out of our league. Basketball's a little different. Basketball's, I think, a little bit harder. It's not as regionalized of a sport, and it's kind of spread, and it's much harder, I think, to get out of our region.
Well, don't take offense to this, but my favorite sport, sailing. Yeah. I'm kidding.
We have sailing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they had sailing, man.
We have sailing. We have beach volleyball as well.
I know. They had the sailing team down here, remember?
Yeah, we did. That was a great show.
Yeah, but I had no clue about, you know, the competitive side being from the Midwest of sailing.
I don't either, to be honest with you. I'm from the Northeast, so I didn't know anything about sailing. I'm learning as I go.
There you go. So, young lady, you've been here all 4 years?
No, I haven't. I transferred in.
Where'd you transfer from?
North Dakota State, up in Fargo.
Were you up there with Nicole?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I'm from Sioux City, Iowa, which is about 2.5 hours south of that godforsaken state of North Dakota. Now, it's beautiful. I'm not going to say that. South Dakota has some remnants of beauty because we got the Black Hills, and I grew up 2 miles from South Dakota. But I went to North Dakota State often. Yeah. I played Division II football there in the cold, got beat 65-0. I've got nothing but bad memories of North Dakota State. I can't believe they pulled you out of Denmark to go to Fargo, of all places. And I said to Nicole, you're from Chicago. It's cold. What were you thinking? Both of you ladies wised up and came down here to Eckerd. Talk briefly about your North Dakota State experience.
It's a long time ago now.
Long time ago. No, this is a long time ago, guy.
No, it was something else. It was a big school, a whole other kind of college experience up there for sure. And I was really happy to have been there, but also really, really happy that I ended up transferring out and coming here for the rest of my college career. Yeah, trying something different was also like, that was like...
Well, you got an experience, yeah. And it's a great program, fabulous program in all sports,
yeah.
Because it's the only game in the state as far as entertainment. It's number one. So bravo for surviving a couple of winters up there, first of all. And I can tell you, I met Nicole's parents, and they moved down here. They weren't too happy when she decided to go to Fargo, North Dakota to play basketball. But both of you young ladies, successful and graduated and played together. And, what's your favorite memory at Eckerd since you've been there the last few years?
Being a part of this team, and like, I think just, well, it's hard to put it down to one thing, but like all practices, the games, like especially this year coming as far as playing this, like in the Sweet 16, that game was fun too. It's hard to put it down to one thing, I think.
Well, one thing that I'll notice as an ops, and I've watched a lot of basketball and called a lot of games, coach, was your chemistry. And I didn't know this until my buddy, Coach Butner, Bill Butner, told me that your starting center blew her knee out.
Yeah.
Early in the season or before the season?
She was here in this show last year with me. She's
yeah.
a 6'3 girl from England.
Yeah.
Tremendous player. She was returning player of the year in our conference. She was player of the year in our conference as a junior, but we lost her midway through the season. She tore her ACL on a trip down to Lynn. And we were really rolling at that point, so we were concerned, obviously, as a coaching staff, lost our best player. But to their credit as players, we had to reinvent ourselves quite a bit. We became much more perimeter-based, obviously. We were going to her. She was like the hub of our offense. So we had to change things up, and they did a great job adjusting, and we just kept winning games.
Well, I was very impressed. But I would just look at the bench, and these other teams would have like 15 girls. And I'm looking over you guys, and you're like... there's eight of you total,
yeah.
Including coaches. Well, there are probably nine, but including coaches, like nine people on your bench. And I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty impressive.
You know, we've always carried a smaller roster, and there's some risk in that, obviously, if you lose some players, that drops your numbers. But we've mastered that art of practicing with eight players and nine players. We did that for the last few years on our team, and it hasn't really slowed us down. Now, obviously, a big injury to your best player, it's going to hinder you at some point. And I think it caught up to us in the Sweet 16 game. Their best player was a post player. We had a hard time matching up with that. We had to double and triple team her. And
oh, yeah, I saw her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very good player.
Very good player. I know how you've gotten around it. The eight and the nine is recruiting guys like Colton Ryan to come out and be the AD, Tommy Ryan's son, Colton, who was helping us right when he graduated a little bit. Great kid. He was practicing with the girls and then he actually suited up for the men.
Yeah,
because they didn't have enough players.
That's right.
That's your dad's AD and you're a utility player and you're committed to Triton.
Absolutely. Yeah. Colton's great. Colton, we've done that multiple times, brought male practice players in to enhance our practices. This year, we didn't really have it as much. That's slowed down since COVID, but we need to bring that back, I think.
I did it 100. You're not going to believe this. I did it 100 years ago. Well, I went to Western Kentucky first few years of my collegiate world in track and field. I dated one of the basketball players. So she made me and my roommate come in practice when some of the girls would be ill. Got the hell beat out of us. We thought, you know, we're fit and we're going to play against girls. We got the hell beat out of us.
You didn't know what you were walking into there.
I didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. So your family, I'm sure they were excited that you made the decision to leave North Dakota State and come down here. Have they ever visited?
Yes, multiple times. They enjoy it here, too.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, we archive this. Do a shout-out to your family, and we'll show you where you can listen to it. So do a shout-out to them right now back in Denmark. They're still back in Denmark?
If it what?
They're still in Denmark?
Yes, they are. My sister actually is in UF. She plays basketball up there.
She's a Lady Gator?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're still alive. They're in the NIT.
Yeah.
What is it? Not the Elite Eight, but the Grade Eight. They're in the Grade Eight, the NIT. I think they're playing Memphis soon, are they not?
Yeah, one of them.
Beautiful. Well, you don't get to see her play, and she doesn't get to see you play, unfortunately.
Every so often we actually do, which is nice. If we have a weekend off, sometimes it like adds up and we can get to see each other.
Well, were your parents athletes? Were they basketball players?
My dad was, yes. And my mom played badminton.
Badminton? I love badminton. They should make that a collegiate sport.
I'm in. I have eligibility for that. I can still play that.
Yeah, I got it. I got plenty of eligibility for that. I just would embarrass myself. Okay, so your favorite game as an Eckerd Titan, Lady Triton?
Well, I think...
A moment that you created. Coach probably has a couple.
I really, really, really enjoyed our most recent game, the last game. I thought the atmosphere was great. We had a whole crowd from Eckerd coming in. Like, the gym was packed. It was emotional, too, and it didn't come out the way we wanted to, but I thought it was a fun game to play. And then the game before that, too. That was super fun, too. Winning that, going into the Sweet 16. Yeah, that was some good most recent games we had.
Some great memories.
Yes.
Now, in Denmark, do you have... club basketball?
Yes.
And how were you discovered by these guys? Did they have an agent for you, coach, that you...
No, there's no go-between.
There's no go-between?
No, coaches are out there hustling any way they can. I'll kind of let C tell the story about how we recruited her and how she landed at Eckerd.
Well, I entered the transfer portal, so they were able to see me in the portal and then reach out from there, and then I came here.
Yeah, I think we were... you know, we do a lot of our recruiting through Instagram, to be honest. We do a lot of direct messaging when we're reaching out through Instagram because it's also a profile of the player. You can learn a whole lot from them without them saying anything and even meeting them. But C looked like she had her act together, and we were able to jump on the portal, get her information. We ended up DMing her, I believe, through Instagram, and then watched some of her clips on a thing called Synergy, which allows us to see any player in the country. And so we knew she'd be a good fit. It was just a matter of trying to convince C that she wanted to come to Eckerd, and thank God she did. It took some convincing, though.
Where else were you looking?
Well, this was in the whole, like, Corona time, and I was really looking forward to come visit the place I was trying to go to next to see, like, how the whole atmosphere was seeing it, which ended up not being possible for anywhere. But I ended up coming here because I thought the coaches were the most genuine, the most... real, which can always be hard in the recruiting process, and it turned out great. I'm really, really happy.
And the most persistent.
Yes,
and insistent.
That's true.
Pleasantly persistent, pain in the persistent. You know what, right?
I don't even know if it was pleasant sometimes. Wasn't it persistent?
Hey, but that's what you got to do. Now, so you're an advocate, and I think I am to a degree. You're an advocate, and I don't know if Ben's opinion. We haven't talked about it, of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with the transfer portal. It's opened everything up for coaches. I will say that. There was a time when you used to just outwork somebody, but now it's just a list given to everybody. So in that regard, we have to find more new creative ways to, reach out to the players we need and want. And it's hard because everybody has the same list. But those are only transfers, you know, and we're still looking at domestics, high school kids as well. And then some junior college transfers are in that mix too. So this just really opened up the gates for everybody.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a wonderful Saturday down there. Actually, a nice breeze going through as prepared for the first pitch at 106, 105, whatever. Doesn't
106.
106, like that matters, at the Trop. Boston Red Sox, the invasion, as I like to call it, of the Red Sox Nation. Same thing with the Yankees. There were quite a few New York Mets fans here yesterday as well.
Hey, New York comes out in bushels. It's kind of crazy how many come out here. Rays fans are still out shopping for a good deal, garage sales and stuff. It's a Saturday, Mike. You got to remember, there's more important things to do for them.
Well, we've got to get that fan base. Speaking of fan base, and you just mentioned it, young lady. When I went to that Tampa game, I was very pleased with the size of the crowds. And it's tough when you got teams from all over the state. And they're traveling, and it's difficult for them unless they're parents. You know, I never missed any of like kids' games, but there was a bigger crowd, more passion, energy in the stadium, and it's good to see that they traveled across the bay.
Yeah, it's great to see that.
Yeah,
it's great to see that, and it's this is a major embellishment, but it's the only thing I can like it too. It's like a Duke, North Carolina type of atmosphere because they're so close to each other, the two schools.
And it's all relative.
It's definitely relative. But yeah. We've had a lot of close games too, and there's a lot of history there. So you would hope that to play in a Sweet 16 with two crosstown rivals, you could fill the stands. And I was happy with the crowd. I was happy with the Eckerd representation. And it was just...
Except for one guy that was your bad penny in the first quarter.
But yeah, exactly.
I walked in.
Exactly.
I would tell you what, folks, if you're listening, next year, go to a Triton basketball or women's or men's, because it gives you that small town. I told this to Ben. Gives you that small town, your old high school, your school, but you know, back in Denmark, family feeling. It really does, and I love that environment. But when I walked up, and I've been on the campus several times, but I walked up and I thought, oh, wonder what they're doing with that tent over there. And there's Tommy Ryan flipping burgers, EAD, and dogs. And he goes, hey, Mike, I want a burger. Like, this is like some small school in Iowa before a Friday night football game, and the Chautauqua Club is passing out dogs and burgers. So I had that. Not only once, the next game I came, again, burgers and dogs. But
yeah,
it's a family feel.
Yes, it's a very grassroots operation, Eckerd Athletics is. We have our own. We have our people who follow us, the Loyals. Loyal
and
crowd.
I saw those same faces the four or five times I went.
Sure, yeah, yeah, and they've been there for years, and we appreciate that. It's always good from a coach to walk into a gym and you see those same people. You know, I've got my water next to me from a couple that comes down. They get my water, and they put it by my chair, and they come down just seasonally, and they enjoy the 3 months that they get to see Eckerd basketball. And I wave to them beforehand every game. You just see those same faces.
You didn't wave at me, coach, and I almost had to go get Ryan. Okay, this is hilarious. So the first time I sat in the stands, right? But then I wanted to get some pictures, and I posted it on our social media. I don't think I told you this. So what's your head of security's name?
Oh, I don't know who it would be.
The
there.
Tall, older guy.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Ed or Don or something.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
Loud and proud of his position.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm
he's a talker. He's a talker.
Well, yeah, he tried to talk me out of the gym. I'm sitting on that ledge, and it says media.
Right.
I've got Sports Connection on. No, I wore Eckerd gear. I work Eckerd gear, and I'm taking pictures. I'm shooting some video, and all of a sudden, this guy comes up, and he goes, this is after a quarter. You can't be here.
Oh,
I go,
boy.
I tell you, I thought Bill Butner sent him over to pimp me. I said, I can't be here. He says, you're not media. I go, well, I am media. I said, in fact, I have a segment. And he's like, we still can't be here. I'm like, dude. So I reach in my pocket and I go, there's my business card. I said, if it's that big a deal, there's nobody else sitting. There's nobody sitting on it. Just me.
That's what I'm saying.
And he could see us taking pictures. And finally, he sees Bill coming and Tom coming. And he goes, you're good. And he walks away. And I said, I know I said, you do a great job of your security,
yeah,
my man.
There you go. He's doing his job.
Yeah,
he didn't
recognize my face. And
sometimes if it's an empty media table, just allow the one media person in to sit there, will you?
But I thought that was kind of comical. And he's passionate about his job. But again, a family affair.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's do your bio before we let you go. From the Northeast and how you became a Triton. And it's amazing how, you just said, it's grassroots. How many people that are coaching actually played there?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. It's I think 3/4 of our coaching staff are Eckerd alums, including myself. It's an infectious place. It's hard to leave. It's a beautiful, beautiful school. The location here in St. Pete to live here is outstanding. And
you don't have to wear winter coats.
That's true. That's very true.
Not in Denmark, not in New York anymore. But yeah, and it's, for me, it's my alum. So just been chipping away at this program for a long time to make it better and better each year. So we're proud and happy of where it stands today.
And I will say this, your coach of the five I saw was the most dapperly dressed of anybody on the sidelines. Bravo. I like that. The old school.
Yeah. The old school.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have a sweatsuit on, you know, he didn't have the mock. this guy's styling and representing on the sidelines.
Appreciate that.
So next year I'll do some live video interviews.
Hey, that sounds good.
I'll get an intern and we'll send them out in between when you're trying to call a play. That's got to be infuriating, some of these coaches. Here you are, March Madness, trying to survive, and they got to get somebody at the mic. And
I know.
I think that goes way too far.
In between every quarter, they've got something that, you know, they have to track them down.
And you can tell these coaches, like, really?
Yeah, they don't want to be there.
I'm down two. I'm Tom Izzo. I'm down two to K-State. It's overtime. And you want to ask me, right, you know, what right. do we plan on doing next?
That's right.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming down. Young lady, you had a great career and a great time. What are your aspirations? What are you going to do now that you're graduating?
Thank you. I plan on going overseas and play professionally now. About to talk to agents and stuff like that to figure that out.
All right. What'd you major in?
I majored in sociology.
I'm glad you didn't say psychology because volleyball team. No, softball team. They're all psychology. They're all from like Miami area, and the girls were all psychology, and they wanted to use me as a guinea pig. I said, this is not happening. All right. We're going to take a break, and I appreciate you coming down. We're going to have a little party down here, so prepare for it. Bring your ID. All right, Coach. Thanks very much. We'll take a break. You're on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, raised bucks and lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and I appreciate Matt with his patience. During the golf show, we were talking baseball. Well, you know we were. Didn't come back for the break, so he had to listen to us. Thank God we didn't have any colorful language. And then he was blowing me up for a break and finally took a break there. But, unfortunately, we were efforting Orestes Destrada. And if you get a chance, go to our Facebook, which I'll tell you what, Joey Geiger, my man from Boca Ciega, has done a superb job. You're not on Facebook, so you don't see the 2 minute.
Yeah, no Facebook. I only have
your dad gets it.
Yeah, dad definitely.
That's a nice production he's done. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah, he sent me screenshots of the Facebook posting, and it's awesome what you guys are doing on there.
Well, so go to that if you get a chance. And there's a nice piece and about seven pictures that Orestes Estrada provided us from the World Baseball Classic. And I'm looking at his card he gave me a couple of years ago. It's obviously in Japanese.
You can't read that, Mike?
I can't read freaking English. What are you talking about?
I thought you spent a summer abroad.
Yeah. With abroad, you said? What, Cebu Lions?
Yeah, that looks right. Yeah, Cebu Lions.
He was over there for 16, 18 years, but he was immersed in that victory. And, you know, he's Cuban, Cuban-American, but he speaks fluent Japanese. He was with the ambassador last year down here. He was down by the office, and we had a nice time. But great guy, and hopefully, I thought I'd see him at the Dave Wills celebration of life. And that, as I said, Thursday night, very emotional. Some great stories. Talked to Topper, Mark Topkin. He graduated from Drake University. He's going to try to come on the show. He's got a little bit of a deal with WDAE, but he loves it. The fact that, you know, we both got Iowa ties. He did a moving. Very moving eulogy to Dave Wills and then his daughter. That was very, very emotional. Kevin Cash was there. Your man, Stu, actually did a superb job. Sternberg. And the cool thing you would have loved, and I look like a buffoon because Mark's the one that invited me. He loved Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Look at the post. I'll show you the post. Everybody wore Hawaiian shirts. I didn't. It was Cash. I looked like, I was going golfing. But it was very cool. Everybody had a Hawaiian shirt on in his memory because they said he was just a gregarious. And we're opening the Dave Wills bar down here.
Oh, did they hang up a sign for him?
The sign's ready to roll, buddy.
Wow, that's great to hear that he's bringing that back. And
this was his favorite place, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How could it not be, Mike? I mean, you're right across the street from the Trop, and we got some great deals going on at Tropicana Field that are going to be bringing people over to help keep Ferg's the number one place to go.
Well, and I'm loving the fact that you got the discount on the tickets, and now you can get a season package for like $249. What's that deal?
Yeah, so starting at $49 a month, or if you upgrade to pay for the whole season at $249, you can go to every single home game this year.
Yes, standing though.
Standing room only. And you can go to every single game and take advantage of some of the upgrades that they've done to the stadium and see some great baseball that is sure to come this year. It's definitely going to be a competitive season. Some of the things that they have done is that fans, I think, are really going to like is that they've upgraded the main and side displays for the visuals. The Jumbotron has been upgraded. The video board in right field.
Oh, it has?
Yeah. It's been optimized for Tropicana Field to produce brighter, sharper visuals on a board that will be 30% larger than the old screen.
Because it was a bit dated. It did look dated.
It certainly was. And there's pictures online, so I recommend everyone listening, go on Twitter, check it out. It looks great. They'll be using new graphics packages as well to kind of stay up to date, appeal to the younger fans, and it'll even have interactive material getting to the people who are generally on their phones during the lulls in the game. Also, another really great thing, or really kind of interesting thing, I should say, that the Rays are doing, they're using this new technology called Zippin High Resolution. They use cameras and self-sensors to eliminate the checkout process when you're getting a beer. So if you go to the Budweiser short porch,
yeah,
you just like scan your, I don't know if it's a pass or if it's your credit card, but once you walk in, it remembers who you are. You go up to the door, reach in there, grab yourself a nice Bud Heavy.
Are you kidding me?
Swear to God.
I've never heard of this technology.
And right as you walk out, it rings you up for it. You don't pay. You don't do anything. Grab and go.
Really?
You just walk in, walk out. It's super easy, super convenient, and I'm really excited to see how it goes. Maybe you and I can test, see how accurate it is. Maybe we can get away with a couple free cold ones, Mike.
Well, somebody will figure a way around that.
Yeah, so that should be really interesting. Also, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with the Rays, so every Friday night they have a promotion for BOGO Buds at the Budweiser porch in center field. So buy one, get one.
They're finally having some fun and not costing as much money, as they say.
I think they're awfully happy that they're going to be getting a new stadium, so they're going to finally treat us fans right. Another really cool thing that they're doing is they're bringing a hand-rolled pretzel dog at Pig Plus Potato in center field.
Oh, that's really good for my heart.
And an interesting thing about it is they will only have 98 made and available per game. 98 for the inaugural season of the Tampa Bay Rays, Devil Rays at the time. And they'll even have a countdown clock in the stadium letting everyone know we only have this many dogs left.
Describe that dog again.
So it is a hand-rolled pretzel dog. So, you know, if you go see Auntie Anne's in a mall, you go to Tyrone Mall or
any
of those real good hot dogs that are wrapped in the pretzel. Oh, boy, there's nothing better than that. So they're going to have, you know, it's going to be specialty. It's new this season, so I'm sure they're going to give it a
and
player.
Folks, only $15.
I don't know.
The price point's going to be crazy.
It's going to be up there with the new $10 tickets that they're offering as well. You know, they're getting you in the door for cheap, but they're probably going to get you on concessions.
So that's why you come to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. You load up on some of our great our tailgate grub, and then you go over.
Yeah.
And you fill your gut full of beer here, a bucket of beer, because beers are not cheap here either.
Or you get yourself some of that Champa Bay lemonade.
Exactly. Ice pick vodka. Hey, I bought a round last year. Mac treated us some great seats, okay? About eight of us, I thought. And I wasn't drinking. I thought, I'll get these guys around, you know? No, there was four guys drinking. Four. It was an afternoon game. I get done. Take a guess what my four people drinking.
Four people.
Two beers and two cocktails.
Oh, geez. Now, Mike, that's big money because it's $18 a beer, I think, $20 for a cocktail. So you're at $40 a person.
For eight, 12, 16.
I'd probably say upwards of $200.
Nah, it was still crazy as far as I was concerned. It was a buck ten.
Yeah, still, that's
about Mac, my buddy, the DJ down here, Madman Mac.
Yeah.
Double Jack. Ooh. He looked at me and he smiled. He goes, "You're buying around?" I go, "Yeah." I said, "I appreciate you, putting this
Make
together."
It a triple.
Yeah. That's never happening again with Mac.
Well, did you see tomorrow over here at the Trop, the inaugural barbecue and blues fest is coming to the Trop. And it's set to
tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Sunday. It's set to be an extravaganza of shopping, eating, music, and more. It's going to be it's hosted by the Saturday Shops, and it's in collaboration with the city of St. Petersburg. It's going to have a market and festival is filling up the parking lot of the Trop. It's going to be from 12 to 5 p.m. on Sunday with live performances, great food, and the area's best local vendors. The event is going to be free to attend. You heard that right.
F-R-E-E. That's our favorite.
Yep, and it will take place in Lot 4 of Tropicana Field. But get this, F-R-E-E parking, ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of the stadium.
Barbecue and what?
Barbecue and Blues Fest.
Dang, right up my alley, man.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get over there, get some hot dogs.
Trying to grab Terry and head on down.
I know you guys were talking about the food over at Eckerd, some hot dogs and hamburgers. You start getting me excited for tomorrow.
Well, I'm looking forward to maybe you and Allie could meet us there.
Yeah, could be. I'm definitely gonna get my butt on over there and enjoy some barbecue. And
yeah, because I know you won't be watching March Madness. Hey, we got about 60 seconds. We come back, we're gonna talk a little. Talk some high school baseball with Brad Richardson. Ben and I will continue our conversation. We got some more baseball we need to go over. Of course, March Madness, the Big O, will be on about 1:40, and then we're also gonna talk to Coach Chevier of the Tampa King High School, and he was a District 3. Coach of the Year in wrestling and football. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on a beautiful Saturday down at Ferg's. Come on down live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be right back.